Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
So God, this morning we do want to declare that your name is beautiful, wonderful, and powerful. We pray, God, that your name, the name that is above every name, would be on our hearts and minds and be evident in the lives that we live for you, for your kingdom, as you build your church. Amen. Well, welcome. It's great to see you. How is everybody? Great to see some fizzies along celebrating our baptisms this morning. You guys are both legends, so well done. It is exciting. As you've already seen and witnessed and heard, there's lots going on in the life of our church this time of year, and it's not over yet, right? Christmas Eve, we have another baptism. So the tank is full. If you're interested, let me know. Any time between now and Christmas Eve, we'll keep it full. Might have to put some chlorine tablets in there, but doesn't have a filter, unfortunately. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." What a wonderful name it is. Over the last few weeks, we've been delving into the names of the Messiah, names that have been ascribed to our God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there are many names given to Jesus throughout Scripture, but we've decided that over these weeks before Christmas, we would focus on these four, and I'm number three. So we've already done Mighty God. We've already done Wonderful Counselor, and today we're doing Everlasting Father, and there's a space there for Christmas Eve when Dave will be doing Prince of Peace. Next Sunday, we have a bit of a break as we serve the families of our community. So this text in Isaiah is specifically written around the expectation of the new king. And over the years, this text has been used to describe the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. This text is speaking, I guess, into the hope of what the new king of Jerusalem, Hezekiah, would be like for his people. A prophetic oracle of what was to come through their new king, and then years later ascribed to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace, I kind of feel, are easily translated to Jesus. He was and continues to be a bringer of comfort and counsel and guidance and might and power and peace to our lives and our world today, right? But I got Everlasting Father. And it's a little bit different. It's a little bit harder to specifically ascribe this to Jesus because he is, of course, the Son of the Father. I want to show you a picture of a woman who serves in our church in Cambodia. And this is Kunthia. Kunthia is a single mum with three teenage kids. And this is a little bit of her story. I asked her to share some of her testimony. I was going to play you the video, but it's all in Khmer. And so I kind of thought, I'm not translating. But here's a bit of a, in a nutshell, what she says. My name is Sakuntia. I'm a single mum with three teenage sons. I was also raised with a single mum, but she died when I was 16 years old. So I was so lonely living as an orphan until up to the point where I met my husband, where I found some hope and it had been restored and I put all my trust in him. He was my friend, brother, and husband, where I can find comfort. And from day to day, our relationship has got more and more worse until we decided to get divorced. The father had become quite abusive to the family. I lost all my hope, where I expected to receive from him, and more than that, to see where the future of my three kids is going to be like without their dad, because I have experienced that same thing too. I was so lonely and hopeless, and I sometimes felt like committing suicide. But oppositely, from times to times, when I have seen God always show himself to me, I can always see him working and making me see him clearer. I have seen him and I fully trusted him for the future of my family now. And now my kids are involved in serving God in ministries at Kingsway. And this does make me see where he is leading us and where the hope and the future of my kids is. So now I can have hope in him. And I am so thankful to God for his great work. It's a beautiful story of the heart, I believe, of God the Father. This original text, and I'll come back to the story, this original text was written in a very kind of patriarchal society where father was considered the head, the leader of the clan or the tribe or the family. And so when they were talking about the king that was to come, it made a lot of sense to the culture of the day to refer to a king as father, because they were going to take on that fatherly role, that fatherly authority over the people that they were serving. And so the incoming king was described in this way to be a provider of care and nurture and concern and protection as any good father would for their children. And it also refers to his authority over the people, that he was the number one. Obviously, the literal king would not live forever, would not be an everlasting king. And this term everlasting is a reference not only to what the king would bring to his people in the moment, in his reign, but that this leadership, care, and protection would go on for generation and generations to come and leave a legacy to the king. It's much easier from our perspective to translate the term everlasting father to God, because God the Father throughout Scripture is referred to as our Father, as our Heavenly Father, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You read in Isaiah 6, it says, But Lord, you are our Father. We are like clay and you are the potter. Your hands made us all. In Psalm 68, it talks about God being a father to the orphan and the defender of the widows. And in Matthew 6, when Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what does he say? Right at the beginning, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed it be your name. God as Father, the everlasting Father, is a beautiful description of who God is to us as his people. And it forms the beginning of the Apostles' Creed, which we sing in one of the songs, This I Believe. It's a statement of faith that says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And so for the king, he is charged in this sense to perform this role as God over his people, as father, as carer, as leader, as guardian to the people that he was in reign over. To look after the most vulnerable in society, the widows, the orphans. He is the father to the fatherless and the protector of the widows. So there is a little bit of a challenge for us to bring that word to Jesus. because we know Jesus to be, and even he himself refers to God as Father and himself as Son, the Son of God. And even though Jesus is declared King as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he refers to God as his Father, and himself is depicted as Son throughout the New Testament. But there are some connection points. One of the things that connects Jesus to this idea of Father is the way that he refers to himself as someone that will not leave you as orphans. And he makes this connection in John 14, verse 18, where he's talking to his disciples and he says, I will not leave you as orphans. And in its day, it was quite common for disciples of a prophet or disciples of a rabbi, if their rabbi went missing or died, that they would be considered now orphans. He's saying, I will not leave you as orphans. And I was thinking about this all week and thinking about this idea that as it is with God, so it is with Jesus. You know, Jesus only ever did what he saw his Father doing. Jesus took on the mission of God in our world, living and breathing on our planet. Even though we may not refer to Jesus as the Father, like the original king that this was written about, there is an expectation that Jesus would take on some of the role and the responsibility and the function and authority of Father on earth. Because he talked about the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus would leave an everlasting legacy for generations to come. As it is with God, so it is with Jesus. As it is with Jesus, so it is with us. I believe that the church, when Jesus builds the church, takes on the same everlasting Father role in our world today. The church, I believe, is charged in a sense to perform the role of the Father to the people. As carer, leader, and guardian of the people around us, to look after the most vulnerable in our society. And in the days gone by, the two most vulnerable people was the orphan and the widow. The most vulnerable people was the homeless, the orphaned, the widow. No one to look after them, no one to care for them. And I believe that as his church today, God calls us to take on that same role and responsibility and authority to speak it out, to live it out in our world today, to care for, to guide, to lead, to protect the most vulnerable people in our world and our society. And one of the things that I am deeply encouraged by is seeing his church do that in our world. Whether that is here in Caringbah or Janali, through our ministries like Jacaranda Cottage, through Platform 9 as we are putting our hands up for the homeless and serving the most vulnerable people in our society. The homeless, those victims of domestic violence, those who have no place to call home, those who are without support and encouragement, the most vulnerable people in our society. God has been challenging us and calling us into ministering and serving and providing leadership and care and protection and love. As it is with God, so it is with Jesus. And as it is with Jesus, so it is with us. You know, the story of Kuntia, she's a lady in her early 40s with three teenage kids. A single mum in an extremely poor country. and the church has been to her a father to her kids. And her oldest son, Timothy, is now one of their key worship leaders. And to see what God is doing in and through her children, because the church has taken seriously who they need to be to their community more than anything else. A few weeks ago, I was at Sea Change Church preaching, and three of the guests at our Platform 9, which is our home for victims of domestic violence and homeless, three of the residents or guests, as we call them, at Platform 9 were baptized in the service, after the service, 3 weeks ago. God, yeah, I would clap too, Sienna. God is at work through His church as we take on what it means to seriously serve our community as Father to our community, bringing the hope, bringing the leadership, bringing the care, bringing the protection, bringing all that is God and His kingdom to those around us. There's another girl I want to show you a picture of. This girl, her name is Shreinit. And it's the girl on your left. And again, they sent me an interview with her. And I thought, Mean, the girl on the right, who's one of our youth leaders, I thought she would translate it in English, but she didn't. It was just all Khmer, so I went, okay. Her father drowned about 8 months ago, 9 months ago, in the lake outside their village home, and her mum is very sick. And the church in Cambodia has adopted her and her brother. And this is her little story that it's been translated so we all get it. I am so hopeless after my father died. My school is very far from my house. They lived in the village area. And I don't like to talk very much, and I don't have any friends. Panet and Shrey Pike, who lead our church in Cambodia, they were connected somehow to this family, and they went to the funeral, and they met these two young people and invited them. We have a dorm that we operate just down the road from the church that houses people like this. And she said, I was shocked to be asked and move into the dorm. Here, I'm always surrounded by people and the way they're taking care of me and my brother. I felt so much love here and so much encouragement. And at church, there is so much joy. And I have many people I can talk to and many friends. I am thankful to the Lord for bringing me here to this place. As it is with God, so it is with Jesus. As it is with Jesus, so it is with us. God is calling us as His church to be Wonderful Counselor, to be Mighty and Powerful in His name, to be Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace to our community and to our culture. Because that's who He is, that's who Jesus is, that's who He calls us to be. And it's brilliant and encouraging and exciting when I hear the stories, even this morning, of the baptisms and seeing God's life touch those that we love. And a few weeks ago at Sea Change, and the lives that we are continuing to bless and lead and protect and cover and nurture as we reach out and touch the lives of the most vulnerable in our society. And it's messy and it's hard. It's much easier to do and look after those that are like us, the same as us. But God calls us to be like Jesus, to take on the mission to our world, both here and across the globe. And I am grateful that we are a part of a community of faith that puts our hands up, that steps out and says that we are going to be these descriptors, if you like, to the world around us, to the most vulnerable, to the broken, to the messy, to the lost, to the hurting, and to everyone. As it is with God, so it is with Jesus. And as it is with Jesus, so it is with us when Jesus builds his church. Let me pray. God, I believe that not only is this text an exciting declaration of who you are, but it is also deeply challenging about who you call us to be. I thank you, God, for the lives that we continue to impact through love and service, through coming alongside, through protecting, through offering a place, a platform, an environment of hope and love and faith. I thank you what you are doing in the lives of our young people as we've seen today, for the testimony of the church being the church to them, that your spirit and your presence and your promise and your power working through your church to touch the lives of the young people in our community and in our society and beyond, to the lives of those in the ministries that we serve, like Platform 9, Jacaranda, and our church in Phnom Penh, Cambodia, where we are seeing and hearing and witnessing the power of God at work through your church as we stand up, as we say, we will be who you were. And we will take on those names and be those things to our world, to one another, to this community and beyond. We bless you, God. Encourage us and challenge us to continue to step up and be all that you've called and created us to be, for your sake, for your kingdom's sake, and for the sake of the communities around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show his love, grace, and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact he has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.